Mini episode 627 of the FDH Lounge is brought to you by that NBA lottery pick, your pop culture influenced look at the world of hoops. Follow them on the web at that NBALotteryPick.com.
The FDH Lounge. You want to schedule your life around it.
A long time ago, on a gloomy, wet Cleveland spring night, two men stand alone amidst the late night drizzle. Their voices echo across the vacant station parking lot as they debate the merits of the great American radio show that have been missing for far too long. On that night, an idea was born. That idea became the FDH Lounge. Welcome to the FDH Lounge.
All right, everybody, welcome to FDH Lounge number 627, our mini episode today. This is kind of old school. Rick Morris kicking it with Jake Digman. We've done this previously on the program, and harkening back to the earliest days of the show with the actual episodes, not mini episodes, but where we'd be going one segment into another and all over the place and random. And Jake is one of the few guys that I can really do this with, so we are broadcasting here today. We got a number of different subjects to hit, Jake, any number of them that we could touch on.
That is true, and welcome to my happy, humble abode. If you look outside, it's fall, and
yes,
like, you can't see this because it's radio, but if you could see this, it's a beautiful, picturesque landscape. My backyard is a Metro Park. So
it really is, yes.
It's kind of cool.
The Summit Metro Parks here. I've always marveled at this. This is a beautiful sunroom here overlooking a scenic park area. Yes, very privileged to be in these fine environs here today, Jake.
If you're in the Ohio area, I recommend check out your local Metro Park. It's a natural beauty that is all around you that people don't take the time to take a look at. Nature, it's a beautiful thing. Unless you tick it off, then it destroys stuff.
But yeah.
Right now, nature's our friend, so.
Yeah, it is. Well, I don't know if you saw this weekend, but some of the attempts to do a qualifying at the U.S. Grand Prix in Austin, Texas. Wrong place, wrong time, just like what we were talking about off air with something else.
Did not see that, but I felt bad for the people down in Mexico. I don't know what's going on down there. I haven't done the follow-up about that hurricane, but man, I hope that's all okay, and that Alberto Del Rio wasn't down there.
I don't think he was a part of that whole scene, but
That's good to know. I'm sorry, Alberto El Patron. My
yes,
apologies.
I think it went better than expected. Less fatalities / damage / whatever. I hope that's the case. So
that's good.
Yeah, hopefully that is. But you know, it's interesting you mentioned Alberto Patron, because something that I wanted to mention here towards the top, I'm going to break the seal on something here with the show. I'm going to put a name out there on the program that hasn't been out there in several years, because you and I have a very good mutual friend who has a job where, all things considered, generally speaking, they like you to sort of be anonymous. But such has been the case recently when our good friend gets featured on, say, Total Divas. I guess it's okay to mention the guy's name on the program. Kyle Ross and I have been using shorthand for him over the years. Whenever we reference him, the little guy. I'm going to break the seal today.
The little guy, really?
Yes, the little guy.
That's heightist.
Yes, it definitely is. We are definitely height supremacists.
He's very short, though.
Yes, we are height supremacists. But for long-time listeners of the program, going back to the Sports Talk Network days, of course, we refer to our good friend Ryan Ward, who we used to broadcast.
Are we going
to
bleep that out?
Yes. that will be censored. But I never wanted to mention his name because it was like, okay, Dave Meltzer would mention him in the dirt sheets and whatever. But I figure, you know, the lower the profile he has publicly, the better. But, hey, when the guy's, you know, getting featured on Total Divas, I guess they trust him enough to be out there and you know,
it's only thing I got to say to shout out to our buddy is that he's doing a kick butt job on NXT. It's like
yep,
the one show that's worth, that is constantly every single week. It's, you know, it's booked old school style. And I told him this a couple years ago when I talked about it, because
mm-hmm,
I very rarely talk shop with him, because
mm-hmm,
it's like any other job out there.
Right.
Most people, they don't want to talk about their work outside of work.
Right.
So I very rarely, no matter how cool your job is,
mm-hmm,
I mean, I'm the exception. I'll talk about anything you want to talk to. It's about me. I'm, you know, I'm very humble like that.
Right.
I love talking about myself. But big props to the NXT and the specials they've been doing down there. Actually, we're going to be watching Hell in a Cell after this.
Yes.
But the way they've developed and building new stars and everything, it reminds me a lot. I told him that it reminded me a lot of like old school Memphis. I can kind of laugh. Like, it reminded me of old school Memphis meets TNA, and not in a bad way.
Yeah. No, that's true.
Like, the good part of TNA.
Yeah, you know. And
I don't. Is that still a thing, by the way?
I don't think so.
Okay.
I don't think it is.
The last time I saw TNA, I went there live.
Yeah.
I watched Bound for Glory. I found someone shared a stream with me, and I watched it, and it. I mean, it felt like an indie show on film. Like,
yeah.
It was just so horribly bad.
Yeah. I think I'd rather be coated with a yellow stream than watch a TNA stream, to be honest with you.
This isn't going to sound weird considering it's professional wrestling. It seemed fake.
Yeah.
I don't know if there was no emotion to it. It was just there. It was a thing, and it was like, and then I have an issue, and this is really weird. Let's harken right back to, like, NXT. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I don't watch Impact or whatever it was because,
right.
A, I have to make an effort to search for it because I don't have cable.
Mm-hmm.
So I have to make an effort to search for it. And, B, I don't like the fact that it's taped, like, 18 months ago or how
right.
they tape it. But here's the weird part. They tape NXT, and yet I'll watch that.
Right, right.
Because it feels real. It feels like the emotion is, like, genuine on NXT. And big props again to our guy for doing such awesome things. If it couldn't be one of us, we're glad it's him in that situation. There's nobody we could ask for better to be hold the future of professional wrestling down than the pencil.
Well, the pencil, yes, as we refer to him on Facebook a lot of times. And here's the thing, too. Like, look, you and I are guys that love booking, and there's a number of us that do, too. But the thing of it is, Ryan is unique in the whole thing of, like I couldn't possibly be jealous of him because I would never be able to jump through all the hoops that he has to keep the job. So it's easy not to be jealous of him.
Oh, yeah,
because,
I wouldn't lie. I'm
he
not
has the
lie.
Patience of Job.
And say there's a tad bit of envy there. I don't know if it's
yeah.
jealousy, there's a tad bit of envy there. But I am, and again, if it's not me, I'm glad that it's
right.
somebody that I trust that I've had conversations, as they say, going up and down the road with.
Right.
And, you know, we all like to book. Kyle likes to book, too. He's just not good at it.
The funny thing is, Kyle is going to be critiquing, maybe on this program, I'm going to be doing some retro rebooking of WCW 1991 on Total Extreme Wrestling, and Kyle wants the ability to do some.
Wait, you're rebooking WCW? Okay, here's
yes.
your first thing. Resign Flair.
Well, yeah, hopefully.
I mean, if that's not an option, then,
hopefully.
I mean, just run with the Western States Heritage title. I mean, just, you know.
And the funny thing is, I was telling Ryan about this, Ryan Ward. I saw him, hung out with him for like about 8 hours at Kyle Ross's wedding over the summer. I appointed myself his chauffeur since he didn't have a ride in town anywhere. So we were hanging out constantly. And I will tell you, too, I mean, it's one of these things. Now that he's one of these cult favorites out there, and you see on Twitter, everybody's like, who's this Ryan Ward guy? I don't know who he is, but he's a good booker. I'm going to say this, and it's like, I can't help it that this is cliche. Like, I hate to be cliche guy, but there's no other way to do it. While Ryan Ward is a Hall of Fame caliber booker, yes, I'm sorry, it's a cliche. He's an even better guy. He's an even better person than he is. He's a great friend. He's very loyal to people. He's fun to talk to. I had the time of my life hanging out with him.
He
does
not return to my text messages. So, yeah. You know, right now, as far as I'm concerned, he's dead till he returns my text message.
He's not always great about
yeah,
that. That's
yeah,
true.
I said that. Yeah,
yeah,
I went out there, pencil.
Yeah. That's,
call me.
I don't always.
Seriously,
yeah.
Call me. I'm worried about you.
Well,
I want to make sure everything's okay with you. Call me.
It's funny because I was joking about this. I texted him a few months ago. Like, as soon as I don't know if you noticed it, but NXT started getting reviewed on AV Club. And I texted him, and I was like, oh, the hipsters are going to be saying your product is too mainstream now.
Oh, my.
Yeah, NXT, that's too mainstream. The funny thing is, I came across this character on Twitter. I can't remember his handle. It's good that I don't give him any publicity anyways. A guy who's the biggest Captain Neckbeard, smart mark, comic book guy wannabe. Who's like, yeah, NXT was so much better before Ryan Ward took over. You people think it's great? First of all, he thinks Ryan took over in December of 2014, which is bull crap. He'd been running it for well over a year. I think longer than that.
Yeah, I think so. He's always been a part of, like, the crew of what was
yeah.
going on there. But, yeah, I mean, I remember, like, reading, like, it was
yeah.
like a year prior to that. That
yeah,
he was,
yeah.
Because it's pretty much just him.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
It's, like, him and Triple H, and then, like, you got their agents and stuff, like the trainers that are down there.
Right.
And the cool thing about it, too, is that this is one of the things that I like about mm-hmm. NXT that's different. It's not micromanaged.
Right.
And Triple H has said that on different interviews and whatnot, and on their NXT, the panel before SummerSlam they did on the network, that they let the guys come up with their stuff to develop it for. It's kind of hilarious. The developmental league is the one that where it's what it should be, and it's like the joke is now that you get demoted to the main roster, then you get handed these scripts by all these guys, and everyone's just like, "Oh, what's this?" It's like. NXT Brooklyn showed that there's a market for NXT, and the fact that if they wanted to, it could go head-to-head with their main roster and be better than it. And I think Vince McMahon's afraid of that fact because he has his vision, and it's been his vision forever in a day. But at the same time, it's like NXT's just fun.
It is.
It's like Rachel. She's in there sleeping right now. She doesn't like Raw. She'll watch it because I'm watching it. Right. But for the most part, she's like, turn on NXT. She's like, especially like the women's match. And they developed an actual, they made you interested. And what goes the women's match? And we'll call it the Ronda Rousey effect from that. But it's shown, women are capable of putting on great matches. And I've heard there's this thing called Shimmer that's been around for, I mean, I know what Shimmer is. I've never watched it because I just never have.
Nothing against it.
I hear it's really awesome. Shout out to all the ladies working out there.
Right.
But it's been going on for years that they can actually work, and it's just kind of cool that there's like these two competing brands, and I look forward to hopefully maybe one day. Everyone knows the smart mark wet dream of NXT versus the main roster. I don't want that.
I
just rather just pluck guys from the main roster, put them back down on it, and put them on NXT.
Right, and then use them better, And it's the whole thing, too. I mean, it's been like a revelation to me, oh, my God, women's wrestling doesn't have to suck. It's just been a big revelation to me because that's some of the best stuff they're doing. Sasha versus Bayley is as good as it gets, male or female.
And Bayley is such a license to print money. When she comes to the main roster, she is such a license. It's like, if you don't like her, you're just a mean person.
Yeah,
I mean,
don't
get me wrong. There's going to be that guy out there. It's like, she's just too happy. I don't like her.
Right.
But at the same time, it's like, as far as performance goes, wow. Like, I can't wait to see, I so badly want to see some. And by the way, shout out to anybody out there to do this on the YouTube. Somebody make a redo of the Four Horsemen's entrance video, but do it with the Four Horsewomen.
Ooh.
And how cool would it be to see, the Four Horsewomen come out wearing all business suits, like the Four Horsemen back in the day, but wearing, female business suits. And I would love to see, a Survivor Series match where they just stand there as the Four Horsewomen and cut promo, the exact opposite of, it's all about women power in the new age. I think that would be so awesome.
It would be incredible. It would be. It's so funny, though, because the point of reference for what I'm about to say is Ric Flair. The only worry that I have with any of them right now is, and ironically, his daughter is one of the Four Horsewomen, but it's not the one I'm thinking of. Ric Flair, while he would tell you he did his best work as a heel, and that was probably true, there got to a point in his career where nobody wanted to boo him anymore, and it got in the way of anything they wanted to do to the contrary. I'm worried that Sasha's already at that point. Sasha might be the greatest heel on God's green earth, but, I mean, she's just, beloved now. So it's like, what do they do with her? I don't even know.
She's beloved. That and the fact that, I listened to her on Chris Jericho's podcast, and after hearing her on there, it was like, I am absolutely, fascinated and mesmerized by this 23-year-old woman. She's incredible. She's the fact that she said her favorite wrestlers were Chris Benoit, Eddie Guerrero, and Chris Jericho, and Dean Malenko. I'm like, oh, my God, wow.
Right.
Where were you at when I was in high school?
Right. Right.
It's like, that's who you, you are a fan of work rate? Wait, what? And you're pretty? What's going on here? And the fact that, and the fact that she's Snoop Dogg's cousin, that also, she's another one that is such a license to print money.
Right.
And her genuine emotion that comes through is that, you can tell she's happy, and her and Bayley and them.
Right.
It's not, they're not models anymore. Because back in our era, which I guess we're still in it, but we're old now, Rick, the whole diva search. Let's just find some, some girl like the ones. I just want to be use this to get into Playboy or whatever.
Right.
Now you actually have women that are coming in that are just as passionate as the guys.
Yep.
And it shows in the work that they do.
Well, yeah. Actually, and as you mentioned too, Sasha. I think just about anybody would agree as well as being, an incredible heel, an incredible worker, whatever. Oh, by the way, probably one of the most beautiful women on God's green earth, which makes it hilarious that Tammy Sitch, did you hear her critique of her and Becky, she was putting down her and Becky Lynch and whatever as being a couple of butter faces? Ooh, okay, Tammy. I mean, you have, and I say this as somebody that I posed for a Polaroid with back at one of the Pillman tribute shows. But
what, 1999?
98.
But okay,
I mean,
that's different.
I will
different.
Just say, anyone who has aged as poorly in the public eye as Ms. Sitch, I feel bad saying this, but if you're going to bury somebody else, you know what I mean?
I'm friends with Tammy on Facebook.
Okay.
And, okay, that's, I don't need Total Divas. I've got that reality shit show. Yeah, I said it. And it's just everything. And she's just one of those people that goes on there and just starts venting against stuff. And I'm like, dude, just let it. I don't even know how I ended up becoming Facebook friends with her. I'm like, just let it, like, let it go. Like, seriously.
That is kind of random.
It is totally random. But it's like, it's like, if she wasn't who she is, it's just kind of hilarious because she goes on there and rants about against people like she's not who she is.
Right.
And that goes back to the same thing. If she just wants attention.
Right.
It's just desperate for attention. And I have nothing against her personally. I don't know her. I'm not going to dog her because she'll probably, like, tag us on something and insult us because we said something.
I hope she never hears this.
No, if she hears this, hey, you know what? You're a good person, and you do good things. Just don't let people get to you.
Yeah.
You know? Life's too short to let, like, the nappy sayers out there, or whatever the word I'm looking for is, to the haters, that's the word.
Yeah.
To let the haters get you down, you know? Everybody makes mistakes, but if, when you put it out there in a public eye, you're going to get the public backlash from it, too.
Right.
That's
exactly.
That's my thoughts on that. And you know what? Don't hate on other people's success.
Right.
You had your time. Your time has gone. And that's not that just happens. That's part of life.
Right.
They're doing great. They're doing good things. You know, you're entitled to your opinion, and so is everybody else. So
yeah.
It's karma. Whoever you put out in the world is what
exactly.
You get back.
Yeah.
The rule of attraction, as the Ryback is a big fan of.
But to see her burying Sasha Banks as an uggo is not only unfortunate, but completely inappropriate.
Wait, she said she's an uggo?
Well,
racist.
A butterface.
That's racist.
A butterface, she said.
That's just mean.
That is. First of all, it's
what does a butterface even mean?
Sort of like everything's hot, butterface.
I have no idea what this is.
Yeah.
I'm really showing my age here.
Okay.
I have no clue.
That's actually
hashtag no idea.
No, that in your defense, that's not you being an old guy. That's a term that's been around a long time. You just never heard it. So,
I must have been running in the wrong circles.
You must have been. But, you know, I mean, all the people down at NXT that have done such great character work and collaborating with our friend and everything, too. The one thing that I will say, you know, and I don't want this to sound maudlin, but, I mean, I'm all about being honest in front of the mics here and just kind of, you know, letting it out. And I think you'll probably kind of get where I'm coming from on this because, I mean, you remember from back in the day and us hanging out and watching wrestling together with him and what a sense he has of the history of the business. And obviously it's what informs him what he's doing now. But it's a thing where what he's doing right now, and he's getting to be about 3 years into where he's at. I mean, I think we would agree. This run in NXT, I mean, you put it against, you know, the glory days of Mid-South, ECW, Crockett, whatever. But it's kind of sad that he doesn't see that. It's just like
because it's a job.
He's in the bubble. And it's like, well, it's like I wish he could take satisfaction from it. And he does. It's not like he doesn't. But it's like I said to him when I saw him at Kyle's wedding, I'm like, I said, I'm not looking forward to the end of your life, but like when you're 80 years old and you're in the wheelchair and whatever and you're sitting there, I said, you're going to be able to look back and realize what a part of history you were. You've already made history that nobody can ever take from you. And I look forward to the day when that kind of seeps in. I don't think it ever will when he's in the bubble, but he's entitled to feel that way.
I look forward to the day when you get him on this show. And then we really pick his brain. I'll be like, hey, all right, there's the deal. All bets are off. Let's just shoot from the hip.
Well, when he's head writer, which I think is in his future, then he'll be able to do that probably.
That'd be kind of fun. I'd be like, hey, my first question is going to be,
what?
When did you return my text message? I thought we were friends.
Well, here's the funny thing is that this is at Kyle's wedding. So I'm looking around, like, I find where he's at, and I like, slide down the aisle from the other way. I'm sitting, like, right next to him, like, he doesn't, but he's not looking up. I think he's, like, looking at his phone, whatever. But I know that he has, like, two phones. He has, like, one personal, one business. I must have texted the wrong one, because I texted him, turn around, and he never turned around. So
oh, good.
Like,
well, at least I'm glad he ignores you, too, and you're in the same room.
I texted him right next to him, and now he's kind of like, that obviously wasn't the phone, because I had to tap him on the shoulder.
Someone's getting too big for us little people, just saying.
By the way, too, I have never been at a wedding before where the processional was a string quartet playing "I Remember You" by Skid Row. That was pretty awesome.
Well, that's fantastic. By the way, anybody out there you want to get married, call me, jakedigman@gmail.com. I do weddings.
Yeah, yeah. It's a missed opportunity not having you do Kyle's one.
Well, he didn't ask me. He didn't even invite me. I wasn't even invited to the party, let alone invited to do the wedding.
I'm sorry. I didn't mean to pick a scab there. But,
I'm totally cool with it. Trust me, I'm fine.
Kyle Ross.
I mean, I'm totally cool. I mean, I could have booked a better wedding, just saying.
Yeah, probably.
No, I'm just kidding. I actually, you know what? In all honesty, I'm actually very happy for our friend.
Yeah. Everything's gone very well.
I haven't
well.
Seen him in years, so like, if I got married tomorrow, I wouldn't invite Kyle either. So, well, there you go. Totally fair.
It was one more thing about it with Ryan that was interesting, too. It was just the commonality of – I've never worked for a corporation like the WWE. I've spent many years, you know, in a sort of Dilbert-type role with a major corporation. What's interesting is – It's hard to
– Please.
It would take the rest of the podcast to explain it. I mean, the funny thing is our friend Tony Mazur, he has asked our friend Anthony Patrone, like, what exactly does Rick do?
You know, I've wondered this for years.
I know. It's like I prefer
I've always envisioned you like a person like just sits in a cubicle. I envision kind of like Office Space where you just sit in a cubicle all day and you don't actually do anything, but you just make it pretend like you're doing something. Like my vision of you, like they give you books to look over and you just like look at them and you're like, yep, that's a book.
That's a little closer to the truth, actually, than I might want to admit. But what's
it
funny,
has words,
though.
Pages, and a cover. All right, send it out to shipment.
The commonality with Ryan, because I commented to him, because he's been there since 2009. I'm like, you have really exceeded the average lifespan, and you don't look like you're going anywhere anytime soon. And what's funny is that he was saying to me, common sense. He said, not everybody that's left, it's been an issue, but it's one of these things. And it's so funny because, like, with me, in my Dilbert-type role, keep your head down, don't make enemies, whatever. And it's amazing that in talking to him, it's like, how much of it's the same thing? It's like, don't do anything stupid, and you're going to be okay. But most people do stupid things. Most people in life, Jake, do stupid things.
That's like that anywhere, though. Okay, this is actually a really funny story, and if anybody from my work hears this, I'm probably... Okay. Now, actually, no, I'll prove that nothing will happen to me, even if I put this out there on this podcast. All right? So it's like that with anything. I've often said at whatever job I've worked at, it's always good. I don't care if all the rest of the minions like me, and 99.9% of them do, as long as management likes me.
Because
managers are the ones that can give me the days off that I need, the ones that can handle situations. And I've never been accused of being a kiss-ass, but at the same time, it's like, I also know who, at the end of the day, where my checks are coming from, who I need to butter up to in order to get the right things. And whether you're working for the WWE, you're bartending, or you're counting pages in a book like you do, I mean, that's the best option that you can have is that, you know, and on this, and if you do that, if you're good and treat people right, then you show up and do your job, then you know you're going to get rewarded for it. And case in point, yesterday I was supposed to be at work at 2 o'clock. I'm a bartender at some place that will remain anonymous. I was supposed to be there at 2 o'clock. I rolled in at 3:20. Didn't call anybody. Didn't say anything. Just showed up. I walked through. My boss is like, "Hey, how you doing? Welcome." Didn't say a word to me. Didn't say a word to me about
it.
Nice. That's like. Because that situation, I knew what I could get away with. Now, if it was like a Friday night and I showed up an hour and a half late at a night shift, that might be different, you know? But I knew nothing was going to be happening.
Well, that's something I can co-sign on. Know what you can get away with.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
As our friend Ryan Ward once said to me, as anybody who has ever worked with Vince McMahon, we're not one of the two of them, but as know which hill you want to die on.
Right.
And that applies to every situation in life. I don't care if it's your job, if it's your relationship, no matter what it is. Know what hill you're willing to die on.
Exactly. And it's so funny because, you know, when you just drill it down to the fundamentals of that, it's so funny that he does something that's so different than us, a lot more glamorous, albeit, like I said, I could never do it just because I could never tolerate all
you
that
you would
has
get
to
so
tolerate.
Mad. Oh, my God. I could see you in a meeting and just standing up going, this booking makes no sense, get ticked off and storm out of the room. I'd be like, no, that's it. So much for Rick.
It'd
be like 3 weeks in, and you'd be like, you get all mad because they did something you just think was completely irrational booking.
See,
like, no, Smart Mark guy doesn't like this. This is stupid. No. And then you get a phone call from Kyle. I'm proud of you, son.
Yeah. It's like, see, I know myself. I know that I couldn't deal with that. So it's like, it's just like, if there was a world where Vince McMahon wasn't, you know, the guy deciding everything, like, okay, yeah, then maybe I might want to be a professional booker, but not the way things are. So that's why I can detach myself completely and say I'm happy for Ryan and I'm sort of living vicariously without any pangs because he's, and again, and to hear him talk about it, it's not, you know, he has a more natural ability. Things kind of flow better for him than they do for us. He was telling me how expensive Stamford is also.
Oh, it's one of the most expensive places to live.
But that, like, there's like parking meters at the mall.
Yeah, that sounds about
right. Grocery stores.
Like, from what he told me when I talked to him a couple years ago about this, mm-hmm. It's like a rich elitist asshole country. like you don't want to go there. Like,
yeah.
It's the worst place. It's like, it's all the most stuck up worst people ever in life are in this one little area that, like, it's just awful.
He wasn't complaining about that with me, but it was the prices and everything like that, the cost of living, and like he goes, Ricky, I know you're gonna think I'm BSing you, but like, there's this mall that's got like 7 stories, and you got to go there, and you got to park, and it's a couple bucks per hour. Just like, are you kidding
me? This is highway robbery right there. But then again, it is on the outskirts. I mean, it is like elitist New York City. So,
yeah,
I mean,
pretty much.
You know,
pretty much.
It is what it is.
You know, but
I don't plan on vacationing there anytime soon.
No. I'd love to catch up with them, but not in Stamford. We'll have to do it someplace else.
My mom went there. She ran a marathon through there.
Oh, interesting.
It's
okay.
Funny because they went by the WWE headquarters. And I was like, I went by the WWE headquarters. It's small.
both your parents run long distances? Wow,
yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah,
okay.
My aunt, my mom, my dad, and my aunt, they travel around the country. My aunt's actually today in L.A. doing the Los Angeles Rock and Roll Marathon Series.
Because, like, I remember over the summer, didn't your dad run, like, what was it, 58 miles or something?
He did 100 miles over the summer.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, my parents are absurd on that. It's kind of funny because, like, they're, and I'm very proud of them. They're very inspirational because they didn't even start running till like, less than 10 years ago.
Okay.
It's just one of those things. He decided. My dad was a chain smoker. He smoked like a pack of Swisher Sweet cigars every day for like 35 years. Then one day decided, hey, I'm going to start running marathons instead. And then quit smoking and started running marathons. And
how bizarre is this? That's another thing you and I have in common. My dad, like nobody ever, like, addictively smokes cigars, but my dad used to smoke cigars, like, all the time.
Oh, yeah. My dad, it would be great, though, because, like, buying, like, Christmas and birthdays was so easy. I just bought him a carton of cigars. Now I actually have to think of what the heck I'm going to get him, and half the time I don't know what to get him, because, like you, he's gluten-free, so I can't get him, like, food. But you get him some, like, gluten-free stuff, but my dad's always one of those people where it's like, what do you want? Nothing. Okay.
And that,
I finally just started listening to him.
That is an inspiration. Since getting diagnosed over the summer with celiac disease here, which again, I just was at a gastro doctor. He's like, how did your doctor even
spot this?
Is
it like a gastro pub?
Yeah, something like that. Like, I had no symptoms, but my doctor just, like, took a lucky guess, tested before, or whatever. But the fact that your dad is out there as healthy as he is, whatever, it's like, okay, that's cool. There's people that are doing this that are healthy. And
yeah, you'll be fine. So you just can't have. Good tasting food ever again.
It well, here's the funny thing is that, like,
you eat steak though, right?
And that's what I was about to say.
You eat all the, like, steak you can eat.
It, pretty much, yeah. So now it's like I've been eating steak out more. I'm not like a huge like I love steak, but I mean, like, if for no other reason than the economics of it, most people don't always eat steak out. But I have been eating steak sort of by default at places.
Oh,
now.
I love a good steak. We actually went to the Hartville Flea Market a couple weeks ago on President's Day, and went in there and they had Duma's Meats, and we got a couple steaks and brought them home and cooked them, and it was just like, oh, so good.
Yeah.
It's like, I love me a good steak, but at the same time, it's like anything, you know, I don't want it every day,
right?
Because if you have it every day, then it's like it goes, you know. You get sick of it. So.
Well,
and it's expensive.
The funny thing is, here's something that could be taken out of context. Speaking of steak and eating out, so on Tuesday, I have a fantasy hoops draft at the Winking Lizard in Bedford. I'm going there after work. So Anthony Patrone, our mutual friend, called me yesterday, and as I was just leaving the grocery store, and I said, I was just picking up gluten-free bacon bits for my basketball draft on Tuesday because basically I'm going to get a steak, plain salad, reach in the pocket, get a sprinkle of the gluten-free bacon bits, and there we go.
Bacon has gluten in it?
Well, here's the thing, and you probably – this is something I'm sure your dad has experienced. There's a lot of foods that don't necessarily have gluten, but they're made in facilities where gluten is also – or wheat is present.
Gotcha.
And everything like that, so they won't vouch for it otherwise. So bacon is one of these things where, you know, you got to have it be – gluten-free or whatever.
The cool thing too is as this movement has been taking place is a lot of stuff, like, stores, like, accommodate to stuff. Like, I see, like, at the local supermarket, they have, like, you know, gluten-free almost everything,
right?
Like, I've had gluten-free bread. It wasn't bad. I mean,
like, everything's
disgusting.
Made out of rice instead of, you know, like pasta or, you know, wheat flour.
And we sell gluten-free spaghetti at the place of business of which I am employed that I cannot mention the name of due to the story from earlier.
Okay.
But I'm still employed there. I'm not sure. But Yeah, we have gluten-free sketti on the menu. And,
okay, it's probably made out of rice then. Okay.
Probably, yeah. The only problem I have with that, though, and we actually make it here. Actually, the funny thing, we make like vegetable spaghetti here. We'll buy that at the store, make that stuff, you know, just different kind. My thing I always have with like gluten-free spaghetti is it's kind of, again, maybe that's because it's made out of rice. As soon as you eat it, you're full for like 10 seconds, and then you're like, I'm hungry again.
Yeah,
it tastes like it's weird. It tastes hollow. It tastes like there's nothing, like there's no substance to it.
Yeah, that's one of the things too. I've been learning that about the different types of foods, and you know, it definitely takes some getting used to on that. But you know, so we've talked wrestling, we've talked some food on MMA. I know it's expected to talk MMA with you, as you were the world's greatest MMA ring announcer.
Oh, I am. Take that, Bruce Buffer.
Yeah.
It's time! Oh, crap, I'm going to get sued.
That was so funny. When at your birthday party, when we were watching Jess's fight on Fox over the summer, you doing a Bruce Buffer impersonation there, and I was like, now I want to hear Bruce Buffer do a Jake Digman impersonation.
Oh, I'd love to hear that. That'd be fantastic. Shout it out there if you want to do it. That'd be fun.
That would be awesome.
It's like doing ring announcing, like over the years, like because I grew up watching four sorts of like I grew up watching Howard Finkel. So like I never very rarely get to do it, but whenever like I get a title change, I do actually do the and new.
Nice.
I do that.
Yeah, that's right.
I do that.
Yeah.
But very rarely. Oh yeah, you got to see it live at the show. Yeah, I did do it at that one. Your winner and new. Because I was like, that was always that moment. Like as a kid, was, like that was the announcer that I knew the most of. Was like Howard Finkel, and then there was always the Michael Buffer. Michael Buffer's always favorite when he didn't know anybody's name in WCW, and he was clearly there for a paycheck. And
right.
Like, and now, Brett Hitman Clark. Like, what?
Didn't Brett, like, MF him on camera?
I think so,
that?
Probably.
Yeah.
Like, I don't remember.
And that was another thing. Hogan probably paid him to mispronounce the name.
Man, Hulk Hogan, man, that's racist.
Yeah.
Against Canadians. Brother.
Brother, brother, brother.
But, like, yeah, like, I always maintain to not mimic anybody else's style because, like, especially in announcing and you're up there, it's so easy. And especially when people find out what I do, they're always like, you know, first person, let's get ready to rumble. It's
right.
Like, I can't say that. If I say that, I'm going to get sued.
Right.
It's like, I'm actually a professional at this. And what I do, if I, like, rip somebody, you never want to rip off somebody else's gimmick.
Right.
Like, mine now, like, I've been. Only recently, the past year or so, I've started adding in, like, you know, a little hype thing for, like, I started doing rhymes. Like, I did the last show. I think it was, like, let me remember what I said at our last show we just did. It was, like, something to the akin of, oh, on your feet, let the whole world know that we, and I pointed to the whole crowd, are the RFO.
Okay.
And this is our main event of the evening. And
okay.
It was, trust me, it was much more animated when I did it. But, and that was a lot of fun. And it's cool. It's great because it's, as they say in the industry, over. Like, people now, as I get to the main event, they start to rise up on their feet on their own because they're like, oh, my God, the we're going to get so hyped up. And it's pretty cool. As you were recording the spot earlier for the sponsor of tonight's episode, shout out to the RFO.
Mm-hmm.
I'm very honored and blessed to be working with a great organization, and like our whole thing, we're a movement. We're not. For many years, I've been involved in the regional MMA scene since 2005 in one capacity or another. And for so many years, it was all about like building up the drama between people and selling it like, you know, wrestling and selling us like, oh, and like it was actually real life drama of, you know, people would talk trash about other people on Facebook and all this other stuff. And it was all this pettiness back and forth that, I mean, it worked to sell tickets, but now we've kind of just, we've matured in our age, and we've, like, my good friend Matt Trukovich, the promoter of RFO, did a really great speech that I'm going to have to paraphrase from second telling because I missed it because I was too busy exceeding people at the door in Akron. But, hey, you know what? It was great to come home to my hometown and do a show, and it kind of goes with the territory. But basically, he talked about how we're a family and how we all have been doing this for so long and how we need to work together and do things to work together for the benefit of everybody. In that we are all, you know, we made something special, and what we're doing is through MMA and through the RFO, we have a movement going of positive energy, of creating, like, you know, be the change you want to be. Everybody complains about stuff, but nobody does anything about it.
Yep.
nobody wants to be that positive energy to put out there in the world. Through RFO, we do our absolute best to put the positive energy out into the world. And it was very cool at the last show we did just a couple weeks ago, actually last week in Mansfield. Matt's wife, Melissa, and everybody got together, and we had a picture of him that was blown up, and he didn't know we were doing this. Mm-hmm. And we had everybody sign it as a message of, like, thanks, because they've been around for almost 10 years now. And I'm not going to lie, he shed a tear a little bit. We gave each other a hug in the cage. I was honored to be the one to present it to him inside mm-hmm. the cage. And it was a really cool moment. And, like, the fans out there are so appreciative, and they're a part of this movement that we have going on. And it's very cool that, you know, we're all working together. Like, it was the first time. To me, it meant a lot personally, because it was the first time in five years, I got to introduce Strong Style Fight Team. Mm-hmm. And they've always been one of my favorite people to announce, and just because of stuff that happened in the past and different whatnot that took place, we went down separate paths, and there was a lot of tension that was there. Mm-hmm. And I had the opportunity to sit down and talk with Marcus, their owner and head trainer and everything, and just pretty much just cleared the air and just said, hey, you know what? I'm glad you guys are part of this. I've missed you guys. Anything on my part that happened with us in the past, I apologize for that, and I'm happy for what you're doing. It was mutual. I shook my hand and said, man, it's great to see you again and all that stuff, and it's cool to have a clean slate. Not that I had to do that. For me personally, mm-hmm. I needed to do that to get that off my shoulder, and now it's like, you know, we have a – we're all united to the point of what we can be united just throughout – I'm blessed in this fact that RFO has become arguably the number one local MMA promotion around here. Mm-hmm. It's a destination spot where people want to fight there, because we got that way because we treat people right. We're not on TV. We don't sell that you're going to be on TV. We don't even put our we don't do broadcast live. It's pretty much you fight at the show. We put our fights up on our Facebook page and YouTube, mm-hmm. but that's about it. I mean, we don't make any other promises other than that. You know, we're just a show. People come in, and the fans get their money's worth, and the fighters, they want to be there because they get treated right. And at the end of the day, it's like any business. You treat people the right way,
right?
Good things will happen.
Yeah, it's an impressive promotion, and you know, it goes to what you were saying, too, about your style. By the way, the thing with new champion, for whatever reason, the one that I always associate that with the most, I don't know why, Savage Steamboat, Boston Garden, Intercontinental title, I think it was February of 86. For whatever reason, that the new Intercontinental champion. I mean, you're right. Finkel did that so many times. I don't know why that's the one time that kind of sticks in my head.
I don't know. I mean, like, mine was always anytime he did it, really, I can't think of one that really pops out, but it was always like, here's your winner, and one of my favorites was WrestleMania 4 with Demolition. Mm-hmm. It was like, here's your winner and new tag team champions, only because there's this kid in the front row cheering, mm-hmm. and then he realizes Demolition won, and uh-huh. he, like, stops cheering halfway through the middle. It's so funny. I remember as a kid watching that. He's like, yeah, Strike Force stinks. Then he starts cheering again.
Is that the same kid in 91 whose favorite tag team was Doom?
That was a great moment.
By the way, Kyle Ross texted me
that
recently.
Moment was also racist, by the way.
He texted me recently. Kyle Ross asked me if that kid grew up to be Ben Carson. I was like, I don't think so. Yeah.
That was funny. You were mentioning, like, earlier, like, something like different changes that made me think of it most recently being Back to the Future Day. Mm-hmm. You know, the alternate 2000. What if in an alternate 2015, what if Bill Watts won the Monday Night War? Yeah, he actually beat out Jim Crockett and then beat out Vince McMahon, and Bill Watts won. We'd be in the middle of the Biggie Langston world title reign right now.
We probably would be.
Absolutely, we would be.
This Hoss, he's a great amateur wrestler, too.
Heck yeah. It'd be him. You know, and he'd have his thugs with them, Biggie and or the other one, Xavier Woods and Kofi.
That would be.
And Mark Henry. No, actually, we probably have 17-time world champion Mark Henry. Who am I kidding?
Yeah, that's probably true. Yeah, yeah, that hoss that he is. You know, but
Eat him up.
It's funny. I hadn't put two and two together on a Howard Finkel thing till you said that, but I do remember you saying that. But when you talk about, you know, trying to build your own style and everything like that of announcing, that absolutely is true, because I know I told this story probably twice on the show with you previously, of sitting there in the theater watching Warrior, which you were in as a ring announcer.
Good movie. Check it out.
Yeah. And I text you. I was like, holy crap, they got Jake Digman to play Jake Digman. I was like, I just thought.
That's great casting right there, by the way. That was impressive.
Yeah, I guess I just assumed, like most people, like they're going to bring you in and like they have their idea of how they're going to do
it.
Oh, they did
have their idea.
Uh-huh.
They did have their idea, because mine's funny. Like, I can actually do other announcings. Mm-hmm. Like, I can – like whatever you want me to do. Like I can do like there's my actual style. Like in the red corner, he weighed in at 175 pounds, representing team blah 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 blah. Rick Morris. Mm-hmm. But I can do like when I did boxing, it was totally different. I've announced a couple boxing shows, and I'd be like, it's time for 12 rounds of championship boxing here live at the Sportatorium in Cleveland, Ohio. We got our referee tonight, referee Jim Traction, introducing first in the red corner. He is a freestyle boxer representing, and it's like a nasally thing.
Isn't
I don't
like
know.
Jimmy Lennon, wasn't that like how he used to do it?
Kinda, I think okay. so. And I don't. I wasn't intending to be that way.
Okay.
It just when I started doing it, it just naturally because I was doing boxing, so I just like it was weird. It just came out as something completely separate from MMA. It's
okay.
more of a nasally pitch, and it fit in with like the situation of what I was in. I've shockingly never announced pro wrestling,
okay.
which I kind of want to change that. So anybody out there listening, you know, I'm available for hire. I would love to like announce a pro wrestling show because I think I would do pro wrestling completely separate than I would do like anything else than I would do boxing or MMA. I'd be like, the following contest is scheduled for one fall, and it is for the local promotion tag team championship. I think it'd be completely separate.
I don't know if I ever told you this. Did I ever tell you my story of as a very, very young man back in 96 doing it at the it was the National Guard Armory in Lorain. It was a heck of a thing here. I'll take a moment and I'll kind of set this up for you. But the way it was going was one of my bowling buddies at the time, you know, he knew I was a wrestling fan, and he was a he wrestled under the name Ron Stryker regionally. And it was a thing where he was starting up a promotion, and I just happened to own a tux. So he's like, would you like to be the ring announcer for it? So I'm like, oh, okay. So I did that on one occasion. It was at their first show, and it was, you know, do you remember from back in the day the regional wrestler Frank Stiletto?
The name sounds familiar.
Yeah, like I thought, he was like doing like the achy breaky hard kick, like from every woman's dream, Frank Stiletto, you know, and like,
well, of course he would be.
I made friends with one of the guys at their gym, this up and coming young wrestler named Rodney, and I was kind of working with him. He was doing
for the Mean Street Posse.
No, hardly. He was wrestling as the Unknown Rebel, doing a Southern gimmick. So
as opposed to the Known Rebel,
this is very politically incorrect to admit to in this day and age, but I did happen to own a Stars and Bars bandana that I loaned him for part of the gimmick. And
it's fine. You're allowed to, you know, it's a thing. It existed.
He was looking for like where he could be announced from, and I helped him come up with that. I was like, I think I know how to do this from Sweet Home Alabama.
Nice. I mean, that was his entrance theme, too?
That was. We played that as the entrance theme. I remember that there were guys that were doing some kind of African. I'm sorry. No. It was a Native American gimmick. And so they just needed, like, some kind of exotic-sounding music. And I suggested, for exotic-sounding music, something off of the Paul Simon Graceland album. And they were like, but, Rick, that's African. I'm like, you honestly think anybody in this club, we're doing this, is going to be discerning?
Do you think
enough?
Any of those seven people in the crowd are going to know, hey, wait a minute, that's not right, that's African?
I was vindicated because nobody knew the difference, and I remember this one special ed kid that was in like the second row that was yelling at the Metal Maniac, you think you're a macho man? You'll never be the macho man.
That's outstanding.
Well, not only that, Kyle thought that I was making this up. But backstage, Metal Maniac comes up to me and is browbeating me about, you know, oh, so you're a journalist? You tell Bill Apter I should have been Rookie of the Year in 92. They gave it to the Super Invader. That was Hercules Hernandez. He was no rookie. I'm like, I don't work for Pro Wrestling Illustrated. He keeps going unabated. You tell Bill Apter this. And Kyle goes, you're making this up. I said, no, I'm not making this up. But so whether it be MMA, whether it be pro wrestling, these are some of the oddities that we have swirling around us. But you're right. RFO is doing a heck of a job. I've been impressed to see it. And it looks like it's a shining light on the MMA landscape right now.
Yeah, it's doing really good. Our last show was kind of interesting. Our last show was, like, determined. The show itself kept trying to fail.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it was, like, bound and determined itself. The show itself was, like, I'm going to fail because mm-hmm. we had 13 fights drop off the card. We ended up losing an entire fight card. Like, before That's we had amazing. To refill it. Uh-huh. When it first started, it was the Super Bowl of MMA. It was the biggest fight card of the year. It was humongous. And then injuries are a part of the game, and boom, 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 boom. And major shout-out to our matchmaker, Scott Corbin, who worked his butt off. And we still put on a kick-butt show. Put it this way. Our co-main event got canceled 5 minutes before it was supposed to happen.
Wow.
Somebody blew out his – RJ Buck, hope you're feeling better, buddy. He blew out his knee. Like in warming up backstage. Ooh. And he was the number one ticket seller on the show. So in another situation, there could have been a riot on our hands because like we had to tell them like 5 minutes beforehand, hey, that fight you came to see, that's not happening. Mm-hmm. And we're not giving you, I mean, no one asked for their money back. No okay. one said, hey, can I have my money back? You know, that's what it's I came impressive. To see. And none of the people, like, I mean, you could tell there's that look on their faces like, really? Mm-hmm. Really? But they knew it wasn't us. And thank God we have such a good rapport mm-hmm. with our fans that our fans are just like, okay.
We did you make sure that he went into the ambulance in front of everybody so they could see it was legit?
No, we didn't have to do that. Okay. They kind of trust our word okay. on that All one. Right. Yeah. I wanted to take the cameras backstage and have them screaming on the ground, why me? Why me? But apparently that one was nixed. I thought it would be fun.
You could have worked an angle. You could have had somebody standing above him with
a mask, you know, the mask. Who did it, you know? The whodunit case. The number one suspect would have been Karate Mike, but Karate Mike also lost out. He didn't get his win bonus either for a fight. I mean, but here's the cool thing, again, as a shout-out to Matt. Matt paid both guys their appearance fee. They didn't even fight. He paid them both because they put the work in. It wasn't like, you know, it was intentionally. And a lot of promoters yeah. and out there would just say, well, you didn't fight. I'm not paying you. And right. I've seen that a lot of times. And yeah. in this past month alone, there were two fights that got – whole shows that got mm-hmm. canceled around this area. I don't know who they were, mm-hmm. but I really hope that an effort gets put in by the commission to keep these fly-by-night Johnny-come-lately promoters out because it makes everything damaging for the sport
right.
for guys like us. And I think that's another reason, too, why people, like guys want to come fight for us and the fans like coming to our shows because they know they're going to get their money's worth and they know they're going to get treated right and they're going to be treated well. And another one that's out of Akron, it's Explosive Fight Promotions. They do, like, lower-level fights. They do, like, guys – my friend Randy is one of the owners up there, and he comes in to – every Thursday we hang out at my place of business that I will not name, and he has lunch, and we just talk shop up there. Mm-hmm. And basically, we kind of view it as they do their show, and mm-hmm. they get the guys have like you know three fights or under. Every once in a while, they'll do like a pro show and have something on there, but they don't want to do what we're doing because for them, business wise, it doesn't make sense for the mm-hmm. amount of money that goes into this. Like that's one thing that's always annoying is people are like, hey, can I get free tickets? No, you can't get free tickets because right. free like can I come to you where you work and get free stuff? It's like, no, it's like you can't get free tickets.
Yeah, that's a douche move.
It's I mean I don't know, I've done it to a couple people before, but
do you know, going back to our friend Ryan Ward, he has people hitting him up for tours of Titan Towers.
Really?
Yes, he does. If you know, if you
I'd ask him for one, but he won't return my text message, well, so it's kind of irrelevant.
It's also why we're both Facebook friends with him. It's also why we never see him on Facebook anymore, because that's what basically comes of it. Like, everybody just, you know.
Can
so,
I come to your base? I was like,
yeah.
Like, no, but why? Yeah. That sounds boring.
Like, people think they're, like, organized tours and everything.
That's funny. I mean, yeah. I'm pretty sure you could take a tour of Titan Tower, just walk in the door and be like, hey, here's a secret. Wear a suit. Walk in the door, carry a folder, act like you know where you're going, and there's a good chance you might make it.
You probably need one of those neck lanyards, too.
Okay, get a neck lanyard. That's fine. And bring the girl working the front desk receptionist. Bring her flowers and cookies. Get anywhere you want to go in life. That's a freebie one for you out there. I'm not doing it because I live in Ohio, and I really have no interest to go look at a bunch of office cubicles.
That's all it would be, basically, anyways. It's not as interesting, I'm sure, as people
think. It's not like you're going to walk in there and be like, Vince McMahon's going to be like, oh, my God, there's that random person I've been waiting for my whole life. How are you?
I don't think the TV studio is in the same building. The warehouse is off-site.
That's where I would want to go.
Yeah, exactly. If I was going to break into anywhere, it would be the warehouse.
Heck, yeah. I could spend hours in there. They showed the one show that on, like, YouTube, like, with Joey Styles in the warehouse. And they had, like, five episodes, and I'm like, I'd watch this, like, I'd watch a show of this every week. Just let me just, like, I have no interest. Like, back in the day, I always wanted, like, the job where you work in the video vault room and, like, mm-hmm. your job was to catalog stuff. You know, I wonder, imagine the guy who had the job or the whole job was to go through and to, like, blur out all the WWF logo.
That's right.
And now his job is to go through and unblur out the WWF logo.
You know, I could just see, if I ever broke in there, I would love to see the faces of the guys on the security cam. look at this. There's some douchebag that put on a lucha mask and he's running around body slamming wrestling buddies in the ring here.
I would just go hang out in the double eye, double deep casket. They're like, they'll never find me in here. They'll never think to look. Hey, look at that, a trap door.
There's one of these. They do these shorts on the network. They have one where it was on the history of the fist that used to be on,
I saw that.
Summer, on SmackDown.
Yeah, I saw that one. Like, whatever happened to the fist?
Yeah, like I just assumed it was some papier-mâché thing. Turns out it weighs like 50 tons or some crap. And like,
I think that might be exaggerated.
Move it around with a crane and whatever. I mean, it's like, well, it was like bigger
there
than
was
like.
There was a guy who, I remember watching, a guy whose whole job was to drive the fist. It was like, it took up a whole truck.
Yeah, yeah,
he drove the fist. I think it would be great if that thing was like, you know, outside on a flatbed. He just sees a giant fist going down the road. Like, what the hell is that? It's like, saw a fist going down the road. Eh, that's normal.
Yeah. The thing that would be the greatest is if you had a second flatbed coming up behind it that had a big mock-up of a bloody rectum. That would be tremendous.
Okay. And we've gone there. We've made it there. We've gone there.
We've
skewed into a direction.
Well, that seems like the logical segue. You and I have talked politics previously on the program here.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Isn't that the segue?
Sure.
We got...